This evening we invite you to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. We have one verse that we want to take as our text. Hebrews chapter 11, and that verse is number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses, or this verse tonight. The historical account that relates to that of our text is found over in the book of Genesis, chapters 6 through 9, and it's the account of Noah and the flood. It is the first salvation account found in Scripture, the first deliverance found in Scripture. Deliverance in these chapters is that of a physical deliverance. It's a deliverance or a rescue of Noah and that of his family out of that of the great flood that came upon the earth. And of course, we know from the story, the flood came because of the wickedness, the great wickedness upon the earth. Now, the event is made mention of several times in the New Testament. It's found in Matthew chapter 24. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 2. And then, of course, here in Hebrews chapter 11, and I believe one other gospel writer, Luke, as he gives the account of the words of our Lord in that of his gospel account, he has the Lord making mention of the account of Noah and the flood. Now, as one considers the text which is before us, and other references in the New Testament, it's very clear that there's more to the account than just merely that of a historical account. And especially here as we look at that of our text. And likewise in the other New Testament text, there's more to it than that of just a mere historical account, that of a mere physical deliverance that is spoken of by that of the New Testament writers in the manner of how they use it. Now, the text is not without its difficulties. The event is considered by many as a myth. However, as we consider that of the account found in Genesis 6 through 9, the Lord spoke of it. He made reference to it, which gives that of proof of that of the event taking place. And Peter spoke of it in both of that of his epistles. And so we have several reasons from that of the New Testament by the mere mention of it by that of the Lord himself and that of Peter that indeed this is that of a historical account. Now, there's some other issues. There's the error of household salvation that some like to draw from, especially the text that is before us. I would draw your attention to the text once again, and some words that are found there. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Or that word means household, a family. And so some would perhaps like to take the text here and say, you know, here's proof that there is what is called household salvation in the Scriptures. However, we know that that is not the case. Everyone stands before the Lord individually, and their standing before the Lord is not based upon that of other family members, But their standing before the Lord is whether or not they have trusted in the Lord and they have that of a righteousness whereby they are accepted in the Lord Jesus, or whether they don't have the righteousness that is necessary to be accepted in that of the presence of the Lord. Then there are several other questions. Does the case of Noah teach salvation by works? Noah had not gone to so much expense and labor in building the ark, would he and his house have been saved? Was his becoming heir of righteousness something that he earned by his obedient toil? So those are just a few of that of the issues that one might bring up with regards to the text. And we'll touch on those items as we go on through that of our message tonight. But what I want to do first of all as we consider that of our text is consider that of the context of our text. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews has been called by many the saints of the Hall of Fame, the heroes of faith, the honor roll of Old Testament saints. It is a chapter that is familiar to most of that of God's people. Now the question which must be answered in expounding upon any text in this chapter is, what purpose did the author have in mind in placing this chapter in the epistle? And of course, in answering that question, one must do a little bit of research. Thankfully, our research isn't too difficult, because if we merely go back to the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 10, I believe that we have the answer to the question. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the writer of Hebrews writes, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You note that the writer of Hebrews, that he reaches back to the Old Testament, to that of a text that is well known. It's the book of Habakkuk, and it's where we have the statement, "The just shall live by faith." Not only does the writer of Hebrews reach back to Habakkuk. Of course, this would depend upon who you believe the author of Hebrews is. But also, the Apostle Paul reached back to that of Habakkuk also in the book of Romans in the very beginning, as he dealt with that of the truth about justification by faith. But the point we want to make here is that the writer of Hebrews reaches back to that statement, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. In other words, the just, they have that of a faith by which they live by. They have a faith which characterizes that of their life. This faith is one which does not shrink back. No, it is one which perseveres. We would just stop here and ask, do you have a faith? Do you have a faith? And if you do, what is your faith in? Is it in that of a thing? Or is it in that of a person? Those who the writer of Hebrews speak of, their faith was in faith, was a faith that was in a person. And that person being none other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is basically that of the main theme of the book, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is greater than all. So he says, "The just shall live by faith, but we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, that believe to the saving of the soul. Then we come into chapter 11, and he says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The faith, beloved, that the writer of Hebrews is speaking of here is that of a faith that is whereby one believes to the saving of the soul. It is one that is described here in verse 1 as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's from there that the writer of Hebrews then begins to list that of examples after examples of those who have this very kind of faith. And Noah is the one which is before us here tonight. Noah is the one that is here before us tonight. So the context of our text is that of faith, a faith which believes to the saving of the soul. What kind of faith do you have? Is it a faith that believes in the saving of the soul? Is it a faith that is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? Is it a faith in God? If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. Keeping all of this in mind, we can proceed to the text. And next, I want us to consider the content of our text. We've looked at the context. Now let's look at that as the content of the text. As we would look at the text, the main statement that is found in our text is basically Noah prepared an ark. That's the main thrust of the text. Noah prepared an ark. Noah prepared an ark. Remaining statements, they're statements that give us that of further information about the fact that Noah prepared that of an ark. We're told how he did it. It was by faith. We're told what was the basis upon which he did it. Being warned of God of things not seen. We're told the effects of that of his faith. He moved with fear. He believed, and because, beloved, he believed in a God whom was to be feared, we see that that faith had an effect upon that of his life. And then we have the consequences. It was the saving of his house, it was the condemning of the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, to summarize the content of that of our text very quickly, Noah built an ark by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved by fear to the saving of his house, condemning the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now let's see about expounding upon the text lastly here. Expounding upon the text. Noah built an ark. Who was Noah? Who was Noah? Well, very little information is given to us, really, about that of him personally. And yet, there is information that is given to us about that of his parentage that is sufficient to tell us that he was one who was a descendant of believing ancestors. His grandfather was Methuselah. His grandfather was Methuselah, and his father was Lamech. Both ones who evidence in Scripture tells us that they were believers in God. Lamech, as he looks forward with regards to that of his son Noah. He speaks of Noah as being one that is going to bring that of hope and that of comfort. which would seem to indicate, beloved, that Lamech was looking for that of the promised one. And perhaps Noah would be that one. Just like we gave the example of that of Eve when she spoke of that of Cain in the very beginning. The first born son of Adam and Eve, Cain. She says, the Lord has given us a man. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Maybe it was the way it's spoken. But to Adam and Eve, the promise of that coming one, that deliverer, was given to them. They were looking for that promised one. And likewise, Methuselah, that of Lamech, and many others, as you look there in Genesis chapters 4 and 5, they were looking for the promised one. Noah was a recipient of God's grace. We're told that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because of anything with regards to that of Noah in and of himself that he found grace. No, beloved, that wouldn't be grace. Grace is favor bestowed upon one who is undeserving. And truly, Noah was indeed one that was undeserving of the favor of God. God bestowed His favor upon that of Noah. Noah lived in that of a wicked world. In that of a very wicked time. And in the midst of that darkness, God showed grace unto Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was distinguished out from others. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We're told this likewise in Genesis chapter 6. And I believe that's verse number 8. Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was perfect in his generation. He was one that his life was one that was not perfect in the sense that he was holy and pure, but he lived an upright life. He lived a life that was blameless in that of his time. We're told that Noah walked with God. He walked with God. He wasn't physically walking with God. No, beloved. No, it was speaking of the fact that Noah walked with God in that spiritual manner, in which all of his children do. Enoch, we're told that he walked with God also, and God took him. But we're focusing in on Noah tonight. Noah walked with God. He had that of a right relationship with God, and he had communion and fellowship with God. So that's a little bit about Noah. What did he do? He built an ark, we're told. He built a boat, a large boat, with capacity for a great amount of cargo, live cargo. What an endeavor for one to take. And especially as we contemplate that of several things. Noah had never seen a boat. Noah had never built a boat. And then that of the issue of why build the boat? Well, the Lord told him that he was going to bring that of a flood upon the earth. Noah had never seen that of a flood. Noah had never seen that of rain. Only a mist came down from the heavens and watered the face of the earth, we're told. So, we would say to you, for Noah to build an ark, that was to take on that job. That was a great endeavor. But Noah, he obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the commandments of the Lord. As the Lord gave that direction, instructions, Noah obeyed. Obeyed, all throughout that of Genesis chapter 6 at the very end, we read, Noah obeyed. Noah, we're told, that he built an ark. What else do we know from our text? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, he prepared an ark, or he built that of an ark. Well, we can say that he did this by faith. By faith. What was this faith? What kind of faith did Noah have? Well, there's several things that we would make mention to you with regards just from that of a mere general view of that of Noah's faith and that of the whole account that we find in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. First of all, it was definitely a faith which exhibited belief in things unseen. As we've already said, Noah and his family had never seen rain. They had never seen a flood. They had never seen that of a boat, and especially a boat the size that the Lord had Noah to build. It was a faith which exhibited belief in things hoped for. Now, what do you suppose that Noah was hoping for? The Lord had told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth and that he was to build him an ark, and that by building that ark that he and his family would be delivered. So, beloved, his hope was that of a hope that was future. It was something that was unseen as far as that of it being reality. What did our verse 1 of Hebrews 11 tell us? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That was Noah's faith. It was a faith which exhibited belief in things hoped for. The motive of him building the ark was that his family might be delivered from the flood. It was a faith which was based upon that of divine revelation. Our text says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Being warned of God. Noah received that of divine revelation. It was a revelation, and that revelation was a warning. A warning to Noah and his family that the Lord was going to destroy the earth by a flood. And then it was a faith which was alive and not dead. We're told that he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It was a faith which was a God-fearing faith. Noah feared the Lord. He took the Lord at his word. He feared and he obeyed the Lord. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It also tells us that by the fear of the Lord men depart from iniquity. Beloved, both of those statements are true of that of Noah. Noah feared the Lord. And beloved, it was the greatest knowledge that anyone could have had in that day. Because the Lord did exactly what he told Noah that he was going to do. So that's what Noah's faith looked like. But there's something else that we're told here in our text, several things. By faith, Noah He prepared the ark of the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. By faith, Noah condemned the world. Now, how was that so? How did Noah, by that of his faith, condemn that of the world? He condemned that of the world by that of the very fact, beloved, of that of him believing God and living accordingly and obeying what God told him to do. We also know from that of other passages some things about that of Noah. And one thing that 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us is about Noah is that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was a proclaimer of righteousness. So he condemned the world by that of his faith, which was real faith, an act of faith. We're told that he prepared an ark for the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He became an heir of righteousness. Now, we made mention of that of the issue about that of whether Noah was righteous because of that of what he did, whether his salvation was because of that of his works, that he was righteous because of what he did. Our text is very clear that the righteousness that Noah had was a righteousness which was, how? Which is by faith. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, that is declared righteous, by faith, we have peace with God. Noah was a just man. Noah was that of a believer in that of God, in that of the promise of the coming one. We're not given all the details, beloved. But as we come to the New Testament and we think about the doctrine of justification, that of righteousness in through the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, we know some things with regards to that doctrine. We know that the Scripture tells us that all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. We know, beloved, that men and women, that they need a righteousness to be accepted before a holy and just God. And without a righteousness that is acceptable by that of a holy and just God, they'll not be accepted. Noah was accepted, beloved. Noah was accepted by that of simply by trusting in that of the coming Messiah. It was that of his faith in the coming Messiah, in the promise, beloved. Being justified by faith. Declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. God showed grace to Noah. And beloved, that grace was to give him that faith that we speak of here. That righteousness which is by faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The saving of his house, as we said earlier, I believe we touched on it just a little bit. Everyone stands before God on their own. And whether or not they're accepted or not accepted has nothing to do with that of any other member of their household or any other individual in the world. Humanly speaking, natural man. Every one of us will stand before a holy and just God, and our acceptance will be whether or not that we're in Christ Jesus, whether or not we've trusted in Him and Him alone. Now, in conclusion, we would just lastly make mention of that, of the fact that, as we said, we have the historical account of Genesis chapter 6 through 9, and the mere references in the New Testament indicate that there's more to that of the account in Genesis chapter 6 through 9 than that of a mere historical reference to that of deliverance. It is a picture, beloved, of that spiritual salvation that we have been preaching about here for the past couple of weeks. The ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. The door and the ark, only one door, only one way. And beloved, that one way is only in and through that of the Lord Jesus Christ. The worldwide flood was that of a judgment upon the world for that of sin. Beloved, the judgment in that day, a type, a picture of that of the coming judgment yet to come. Only not by that of water, but by that of fire. And the only way of deliverance. Beloved, just like Noah told that of those in his day, the only way of deliverance is by that of coming into the ark. We say to you today that the only way of deliverance from that of the wrath to come is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have those words of our Lord with regards to the days of Noah, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Lord be. And beloved, as you look back at those words of our Lord and the descriptions that He gives, beloved, some of those descriptions characterize that of our day. Yes, the Lord is coming. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Let us stand and we'll have a closing hymn. You have, you want to touch your hymn book? There's a little chorus on page 485. I'm sure that most of us know it, but I'm going to play the music. I'll play through it once.
for his sake, Lord, we know we are failures in every way, all short of thy glory. For this reason, Lord, we rejoice in thy dear son. Father, may each of us in faith rest in him. Father, may each of us find him to be most precious. Lord, we pray you would bless the gospel to our families. Lord, may the gospel be preached widely here in this country. Lord, may you be pleased to move mightily in these latter days here and then around the world. Father, we do ask this of thee. Father, we pray that you forgive us when we fail, we cleanse us from every sin, we pray. For the sake of Christ Jesus, Lord, you built us up and use those holy faith. May your grace be extended to us richly in Christ. Father, we offer thanksgiving to thee for all thy mercies and your blessings to us each day. Father, you bless our country, bless our leaders, wisely. Father, we pray for Debbie again, for Steve, for others. Lord, may you touch them, raise them up, heal them, for us all with this continuing impact from COVID and others. Lord, the other trials that are faced, I know, those of Sarah, Faces, and others that we love, we lift them up and we pray that you would take them mightily on their behalf. Father, now bless us as we part.
Thank you.